never preached this. As long as I've been, the short time I've been preaching, I say that around older preachers, they look at me like I got two heads. I've preached a lot since I've been called to preach. I ain't bragging, I'm just telling you the truth. I've been preaching a lot, but I've never preached this. And I especially never preached this around Christmas time. So the Lord's really good. I'll be honest with you, it's a short verse. And to be honest with you, just to be flat out honest with you, I really only want to preach two things out of it. But I'm going to preach the other part just for some of y'all think I'm not preaching enough. Now, that's not true. God give me liberty to preach it all. But I want you to realize there's two parts in it. One of them I'm going to read. Most of y'all know I don't read from notes, but I wrote this while the Spirit of God was on me. So I'm going to read one part of it the way God had me write it down. It'll be effective. Don't worry. Y'all there, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I want you to read it with me because I want you to get the full effect of what God did. The message title will be A Present Promise. Present Promise. Let's get into the Word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When I was reading this, I was admiring God. I was admiring God. God can wrap up the whole Christmas story in one verse. He can wrap up the whole gospel in one verse. I wanted you to hear that. He's wrapped up the whole Christmas story in one verse. I said a promise, a gift promise, or a present promise. God promised His Son, a son would be given, a boy, a son would be given. He promised that 800 to 1,000 years prior to Him coming. And now we have received that gift and we're living in it 2,000 years later. God is not hindered by time, nor space, nor anything. He's God. God is so awesome that He made a promise that He's going to give a son. That He could make it 800. Matter of fact, He could do it 6,000 years. He could do it when the world began and He had Adam and Eve. He told you how He was going to do it. He would bruise His head, but He will crush it with His heel. He'd bruise His heel. Woo! I don't know if y'all like stuff like that, but I do. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In John chapter 1, we see that God does that in the same thing, wraps up the Christmas story. I love the Christmas story in the book of John more than I do Luke and Matthew. Some of you sit here with two heads and go, the story's not there. I beg to differ. It's just compacted. Amen? It's just crushed down and made simple by God. Here we go. Let's check it out. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that pretty cool? God said there's always been me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Look over at John 1 and 1:14. John 1, 14. If y'all don't shout on this, I might have to shout for you. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me read that for you together where you'll get it fully in context. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God said, look, in a short way to make the Christmas story, hey, God has always been. I wrapped God in a flesh package, sent Him down the earth, and you beheld Him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. That's the Christmas story in two verses. Man, I love that. You want to hear the gospel in one verse? I do. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved you so much. Yeah, I know it's John 3:16. Everybody knows that. But guess what? Everybody don't believe it. Jesus loved you. God loved you so much that a son was given. Guess who he was? It was given to us, the ones who needed it. He didn't need it. He didn't have to give it. But guess what he did? He gave it anyway. And he wrapped up why he gave it. While we were yet enemies. While we were yet against God. Before any of us in this room even thought about loving God, he loved us. Amen? Aren't you glad? Hey, have you ever thought about it this way? Have you ever asked your parents for a gift? When you was a kid, you go to them and say, "Hey, Dad, Mom, I really want this." Right? And you begged them and begged them and begged them and pleaded and worried about Christmas Day coming and it not being there. Praise God, I've done that a few times. It's always good when it's there. Amen? Even better than that, I love when somebody gets you a gift that you didn't even know that you needed, but when you got it, it turned out to be the best gift you ever got. Guess what? God did better on both. Thousands of years ago, God promised you a Savior. God delivered a Savior. And guess what? It's the greatest gift you will ever receive. It's the greatest gift you'll ever have. It's the greatest gift, if you're born again saved, that you've ever received. Man, it's a gift, I'm telling you, every time I think about it, I'm sitting here going, man, Lord, why'd you let somebody like me in? Why'd you forgive somebody like me? How'd you let me get forgiven? Why'd you send me, Lord? Ain't that amazing? Every time you think about it, God, for so loved the world, He loved us, He loved me. Whew. And sent His Son when we were enemies, and let Him die while we were enemies. Whew. See Him on the cross. I'm not as much as a cradle Jesus as I am a cross Jesus. I like Christmas Jesus, but that's the package under the tree still wrapped. Hallelujah! Preach on! I like the one that's unwrapped. Oh, when you unwrap the gift, guess what? When Jesus was on the cross, He's an unwrapped gift. That's the one I like. The unwrapped gift. Amen? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Some of y'all need to worry about that. Some of you in this very room need to worry about that. We all needed to worry about it at one time or another. But what it's saying here, God will come as a king. Jesus will come as a king. He came as a king. He had the lineage of David. By all rights, He should have been the king of Israel. Amen? He was a rightful king of Israel. He had royal blood rolling through His veins. Amen? He had every right and claim to be the king of Israel. But yet, at the same time, He had a different kind of blood. He was the King of kings. He was the Lord of lords. Guess what? God said the government will be upon His shoulders. That means He has authority over everything that has been created. I'll say it again real slow. He has been given authority over everything that has been created. He's in charge of it all. But guess what He's in charge of most of all? Me and you. God created you. Jesus has the authority over you. He's got the authority of every heartbeat you have, every breath you take, every step you make. Guess what? If God wants you to live, you live. If He wants you to breathe, you breathe. If He wants you to do, you do. Guess what? You need to understand that God's grace and mercy, He's extending to you every single day. That if you're not saved and you're sitting under the sound of my voice, God is loving you today more than anybody else, because He has the authority to do with you what He wished to do. Amen. I know that's old school. Some of y'all say, that's old-fashioned preaching. That's the kind of preaching we need. We need to understand that, guess what? If time run out on us and we don't have God, our time has ran out and we'll be eternally separated from Him. So guess what? God gives somebody named Jesus the authority. You're not sitting here by accident. You didn't come to Flat Top Mountain by accident this morning. You're sitting in these seats because God ordained it. He had the authority to wake you up and bring you here. You could be anywhere else, but He said, I choose you to sit under this word today. Don't mistake it for God being slack or Him not being long-suffering. God is giving you enough time one of the scariest things as a pastor for me is to see people coming in and out of the church and not surrender their whole life to Christ, because I see them be around the flame. Oh, it's good in here. Anybody can act like a Christian in here. Anybody can come in here and sing the songs and pray when we pray and read when we read and shout when we shout and cry when we cry. But when you walk out of here, if you don't have what we have, if you don't have that salvation, you stand in the most dangerous place there is, because God has spoken to you. He's brought you here. He's drawn you. And guess what? It's up to you to make a decision whether you're going to accept Him or not. We don't preach about salvation anymore. We don't preach about heaven and hell anymore. We don't preach about sin anymore. We're worried about who we're going to run off instead of who we're going to draw in. Amen? We're worried about how many people's feelings we're going to hurt. I don't care if your feelings get hurt, if your soul gets saved. I really don't care if you get mad at me. Well, I don't like you, preacher. You preached about sin, so guess what? Hey, guess what? My sin was just as bad as your sin, and I had to get it forgiven before I would get accepted into heaven. Amen? I love when Scott said, when we all get to heaven, I heard him say it under the microphone. He said, we only all get to go to heaven if we're all saved. Amen? Shall be upon his shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful. I was sitting at my desk the other day and praying and reading over this message, and God started helping me write these things out. And when I got saved, I found out who Jesus is. If Jesus is not some of these things I tell you about, and this is what God told me, this is written by the Holy Spirit, I hope, then come up here and ask Him to be the Lord of your life. No, don't wait till the end of the service. Do it in this part of the service. Amen? Y'all ready? Can y'all handle something like this? Here's what God had me write down when He said His name is Wonderful. Here's what the wonderful name of Jesus is. There is no other name under heaven whereby one can be saved. Whew. There's only one name you got to know to get into heaven. There's only one name that you can call out to when you need to be saved. It's Jesus. God said, hey, there's a name. His name is so wonderful that when you say it, it brings peace. When you say it, it sends the enemy in the other direction. Amen. There's no other name under heaven where one can be saved. It is the name above all names. Whew. You can say God. You can say church. You can say a lot of things in a lot of places. But when you name the name of Jesus, boy, everybody knows who you're talking about. And guess what? That's the only one that everybody says, don't say that name. You can say God. You can say holy. You can say church. You can say religion. But when you say Jesus, that separates everything and everybody. It's a name above all names. It's a name that every tongue will confess. I don't care if you're lost and undone and you don't like God. One day, you will bow your knee and out of your mouth will come, He is Lord, He is Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Man, I love that, amen? That every tongue will confess. It's a name that every knee will bow to. It's a name that every devil in hell fears and trembles. And I wrote that down and I know it for a fact. They don't get upset when they hear Tom, Henry, Jane, Matilda, Rebecca, Melissa, Kevin. They don't get upset. They don't tremble with fear. But when they hear the name of Jesus, man, they tremble. They say stuff like, oh Lord, it's not our time yet. Oh God, what are you doing judging us before it's our time? Guess what? Every devil in hell, it runs in the name of Jesus. If you come under attack, it would be do you well to say, in the name of Jesus. I know it sounds, man, praise God, you got some young, hey, it's old school, but every once in a while, if you just say Jesus, oh goodness gracious, some of you old school people need to help me out a little bit. Every once in a while, it wouldn't be bad if we'd say, in the name of Jesus, help me, Jesus. Praise God, I claim the blood of Jesus. Oh, I know that's old school. I know there ain't a whole lot of new people doing it, but it works. When you get in real trouble, you say, hey, in the name of Jesus. Woo! Every devil in hell hates it when you call on Jesus. And it's amazing when they'll tell you not to. They'll say it's too late. Don't call on Him. Don't cry on Him. You're not worthy to say His name. You done sinned. You done fell short. You're no good. Call on Him anyway. Say His name anyway. Say it anyway. I don't care if every devil in hell is whispering in your shoulder saying, don't say it. Say it anyway. There's times when I have to say Jesus when I don't feel like it. Just say it anyway. Amen. You'll start to feel better immediately. Things will start to change immediately. Amen. Every knee will bow. It's a name that every devil in hell trembles. He is undefeated. It's an undefeated name. He's never been unthroned. Whew, glory. He is high and lifted up. Man, I remember writing this part. Y'all just have to sing with me. He's high and lifted up. And guess what? Isaiah seen Him. And he said, the angel said, holy, holy, holy. That's the angels. Right now, in glory, He's high and lifted up. His train fills the room. That means His kingdom is a never-ending kingdom. And the angels are floating around the throne of glory. And the doorposts are shaking because those angels are saying, holy, holy, holy. Oh man, look, I know some of you ain't going to get excited, but that's good stuff. Holy, holy, holy. But guess what? There's some forgiven saints there too. They say something different. They sing a new song. Oh gosh. While they're going, holy, 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 the saints of God are under that going, He is worthy, worthy, worthy. He is worthy, my God. Angels are saying holy. The saints are saying He's worthy. And that's going on continuously in glory. That's called worship, my friend. They're worshiping Him in glory. That's what's going on in heaven. Some are saying holy, holy, holy. And the saints of God will say He is worthy, worthy, worthy. My God, He is worthy.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, He's worthy.
That name is wonderful. I was thinking, they say, behold the Lamb of God, the slain Lamb of God. The end of that song is, He is worthy, He is worthy, the slain, behold, look at the slain Lamb of God. In heaven, there will only be one person that carries the marks of the crucifixion. He'll be the only one that has scars. We'll all have a new, glorified body, but there will be one there. It's got the scars of the crucifixion. The reason you got to heaven. I'd like to go on and preach about that, but let's move on to the next. Listen. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Here's the other part of the message that God wanted me to preach. If you have your Bibles, you don't have to go over there. They're going to put it up. It's 1 Peter 3 and 12. I wanted to preach this morning to you. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When I seen that in this scripture, I said, He's called Wonderful and Counselor. I want to preach to you and tell you I've had some great counselors in my lifetime. I have. I've got some great men and women of God in my life. and I can call on them and talk to them, and they'll encourage me. I've got a great father. I could reach out to him and ask him some things about the ministry and about life. And I got a great mom. Amen? She's gone on to be with the Lord. But you know what? I noticed one thing, what the enemy wanted me to do as a young boy. He wanted me to forsake the wisdom and the knowledge that my mother and my father had for me. What the enemy is doing in your life today, Christian or non-Christian, is separating you from the people that love you most. Your mother and your father are people that's there's nobody on this face of this earth that is made more like you than them. I know some of y'all are sitting there going, "Why? I can't believe you're preaching on mothers and fathers right now. Why don't you just move on to God?" Because God told me this morning when I got up that the enemy is wreaking havoc in the community of the church because the sons and daughters will not listen or will not go to the fathers and mothers of their own family and seek out wisdom and counsel from them. And you know what? That's the tactic. If I was your worst enemy, that's what I would do. I would keep you from listening to the people that are like you, that have been like you, made like you, and love you beyond all measure. I'm talking about healthy fathers and mothers. Amen? I'm still preaching. Just hang with me. Healthy mothers and fathers love you with almost every... Listen, we didn't feed you, clothe you, stay up all night, pray over you, and try to keep you through every other trouble you had, bandage every boo-boo, take you to the hospital, set up, pray. Listen, we didn't do that because we didn't care about you, and we didn't stop when you turned 14.
Amen. Amen.
Or 18. Amen. Or 20. Amen? Some of you need to pray and say, "Help me mend the relationship with my mother and my father." Listen, teenagers. Listen, early college-age kids. Hey, the enemy would separate you from somebody that loves you more than anybody. But guess what? When all else fails, I've got a counselor. I got somebody I can go to. Hey, I got somebody, listen, I can go to my mom, I can go to my daddy, I can go to my friends that I love in the Lord. I've got some great pastors, I've got some great people that love the Lord, and guess what, I can go to them, and sometimes when I go to them, they don't got the answer. The good ones will tell you like this, "I don't know about that, and brother, you need to hook up with a higher place," and that's Jesus. Amen? But listen, I hope I'm preaching to somebody. God told me this morning when I woke up, said, "Listen, there's times when you can't call on nobody else. You can't call on mom and you can't call on daddy and you can't call on a doctor and you can't call on a legal advice, can't call on a lawyer, can't call on a judge, you can't call on some psychiatrist, you can't come on the doctors." Listen, all those things are good things, but there is a time, my God, there is a time when you need to shut the door behind you, crawl into a secret place, crawl into a closet, go out and get in your car and ride down the road, pull off on the side of the road and talk to the one whose ears and eyes are looking at you. That's God. Some of you need to say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm coming to pray. God, I've got some issues in my life. I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with lying. I'm struggling with drugs. I'm struggling with my marriage. God, I'm struggling with my finances. God, I'm going under and I need your help. There ain't nobody else can rescue me but you. Please send some help." Some of y'all need to get serious with God. You got a counselor who's waiting to listen to you, wait to hear your prayers. You know what the problem is? You'll tell everybody, but you won't tell God. You'll tell everybody. You'll tell your mama. You'll tell your daddy. You'll call your friends. You'll put it on social media, but you won't take it to the highest authority there is. There is a counselor who is waiting to hear from you. His name is Jesus. "I'm worried about my marriage. I think it's falling apart. What should I do? What should I do?" I know what you should do. Talk to the one who created marriage. "My kids are falling apart. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they may be on drugs. I think they might be into other stuff." Praise God. Get a hold of the authority that's omnipresent and omnipotent. The one who's always present and all powerful. "I've got some struggle in my finances." Talk to the one who has never met I can't do. Amen? Some of y'all sitting here, "Well, you're a prosperity preacher." I am not. Praise God. I am not a prosperity preacher, but I do know a God who has a thousand hills with a thousand cattle on them. And every once in a while, God is not ashamed or not worth. He'll slay one and feed your family. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. But that's just true. Some of y'all, well, it's all about the money. No, all right, let's do this way. If you're hungry, sometimes God will just bring you some groceries. Amen? I've been in a spot with God before where I said to God, we ain't got nothing to eat. He didn't bring me the money, but guess what? He brought somebody by. His refrigerator broke. Can you do anything with this? Yeah, if you'll leave, I can eat it. Amen? God will take care of you, but some of y'all, you'll wait to the very last deal to talk to God. Go to Him early and often, and you'll be surprised at how the answers will come. Praise God. Some of you fathers and mothers need to hear that. You talk about everything that's going on in your life to everybody but God. Why don't you get up in His lap? Because you love it when your kids come to you. You love it when your kids come to you. When's the last time you crawled up in Dad's lap and God's lap and said, here I am. I'm a father and I'm a mother. Maybe even this, I'm a grandparent and I don't know what to do. God, help me to help them. Goodness gracious. Some of y'all, I'm going to keep preaching. We ain't coming back tonight. Listen, praise God. Some of you are worried about your job. Praise God. Pray about your job. Say, God, help me be a minister on my job. The reason you struggle so much at work is God placed you there to be a light unto a lost and dying world. But instead, man, my God, instead of getting brighter, you turned the dimmer down. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Let me roll my light down to the point where you're about as dark as they are. Amen. Pretty good preaching. I ain't done that in a while. Amen myself then. Talk to God a little bit more. I tell you right now, if I was your worst enemy, if I was your single worst enemy, what I'd do is I'd cut out your communication to your biggest help. Amen. That's the first thing I would do. I'd get you to the point where you wouldn't talk to God because He's the one who can help you. Have you ever noticed when you sin, you fall short of God's glory? The last thing you want to do is talk to God. Let me tell you a secret. The first thing you should do is talk to Him. Golly. Just sit down, tears rolling down your eyes. Don't feel like praying. Don't want to pray. Got filth and mud all over you. That's why you look to God. That's why you look to yourself. Amen? Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. You've done fell short, done thought something, said something, felt something, and you don't feel like a believer, don't even feel like a Christian, but you are one. Listen, every devil in hell, the one crawls up on your shoulder and says, you done blew it now. Don't pray now. Matter of fact, why don't you just go ahead and keep on going worse? Jesus, I love you. I don't know why you love me. I don't know why you let me in. You knew who I was when you saved me. God, here I am. I done messed up again, and the devil's screaming in my ear to stop. He wants me to go a little bit deeper in my sin. Can I come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need? Some of y'all need to stand up this morning and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, forgive me my sins. And use me again, God, despite of what I've done. Despite of what the devil's been doing in my life. God, will you be a counselor? You know when you go to a counselor, you know what counselors get paid to do? Y'all ain't going to believe this. They get paid to listen to you. You got God who's leaning over. Throne of glory, waiting for you to talk. Not everybody will listen to every word, but God, He records every word. Oh. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Why is He mighty? Because He's the only one that could come and get you. The Everlasting Father. I said in that one part, Isaiah high and lifted up, and His train filled the room. You know what that means? Once you get saved, it's an everlasting salvation. Once you get to heaven, it ain't ever going to end. Amen? This is the farthest away you'll be from heaven. The closest you'll ever be to hell as a believer. Amen? No. Y'all, the last word. As we're standing, as they come get a song. The song I want y'all to sing, if you don't mind, would y'all sing the song, Jesus Loves Me? It's a simple song with a powerful meaning. And if y'all would, y'all stand. I want y'all to listen to the second verse if they sing the second verse. Amen? I think it's the second verse. But anyway, the Prince of Peace. I know what time of year it is. It's Christmas time. Amen? Christmas time is supposed to be one of the greatest times of the year, but it can be very stressful. Financially wise, dealing with in-laws and outlaws. Amen? Amen? But sometimes we forget what it's really all about. And sometimes we need to come and talk to God and say, God, could you give me a... Since you're the Prince of that peace, can you give me a peace about this time of year? A peace in my family? A peace about my salvation? A peace about what's going on in my life? God, if you would, you're the Prince of Peace. Can you dole out some peace for your people in a hectic, troublesome time? These altars are open if you'll come pray. There's already people coming to pray. Come on, step out.